You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by the MLB.com Shop.
Hi, this is Phil Rogers, MLB.com Extras, Pittsburgh Pirates edition. As always, joined by the inimitable Tom Singer. Tom, hope you've had a nice off-season and are looking forward to maybe a little bit warmer weather, a beautiful break.
Definitely, definitely. It's been a good off-season, and I'm getting very antsy to get down to Bradenton and cover those Buccos.
Well, I don't blame you. It's going to be a very interesting team you're going to get to cover down there. You've got a great manager, Clint Hurdle. I love the new reworked spring training park. I've been there a couple times, McKechnie Field, since they did the work. I think it's the old school. It's one of, to me, it's one of the neatest places to go to in spring training because it's a park that's not like all the other ones.
It really is. It's a throwback, but they've made some renovations in the facility again. There's a brand new clubhouse for the players. The old clubhouse was a little bit could induce claustrophobia, very small. They've enlarged it, which is a good idea because there's going to be about five dozen players down there.
Well, and for fans, I love that the deck in right field. I was there a couple years ago, and there was music out there after a game. And definitely a place I tell people when they're going to Florida for spring training, you got to get to this place.
You have to check it out because there's so many new ballparks being built, you know, which have the modern look, all designed from with the same basic idea to mimic major league ballparks. But McKechnie Field definitely it hasn't changed too much. There've been a lot of renovations. But the basic infrastructure is the way it was back in the 1920s.
Yeah, one of the great things about spring training, watching the young players, you might not see them on an opening day roster, but guys that tweak the imagination for the future, MLB.com, Jonathan Mayo and Jim Callis, excellent guys for scouting and evaluation, just put out their top 100 ranking. And the Buccos, with the most players in that ranking, seven players. And, you know, I don't think it's a surprise to anyone that the volume of talent was recognized because it's certainly been a big part of the Pirates' focus lately. But one thing that did jump out to me was how highly they ranked Tyler Glasnow, the seventh best pitching prospect in the majors, number 16 overall, coming off the year when he just dominated the Florida State League, a monstrous right-hander, 6'7". You surprised at all to see him jump up past those other the other prospects in the system? Because with Tyon, and maybe if Tyon hadn't had the Tommy John surgery, he would have still been there, but a lot of highly regarded pitchers there.
I'm not surprised at all. I had a chance to actually see him pitch in Arizona Fall League for Scottsdale. And as you said, he's a tall power right-hander, and he throws downhill, which is something that Clint Hurdle always highlights about pitchers who have a high ceiling. These rankings are based on the potential, not the proximity to the major leagues. You know, Glasnow is not going to be in the picture for 2015, but, looking a couple years down the road, it's got to turn you on to imagine Gerrit Cole, Jameson Taillon, and Glasnow in the same rotation for the Pirates, who basically are enjoying a perfect storm, you know, coming off a couple back-to-back postseason campaigns and have all those prospects for the future. And it's basically a manifestation of general manager Neil Huntington's plan when he took over his job about 7 years ago. He wanted to build a strong farm system while becoming competitive at the major league level. And one of his mantras is, we never wanted to be a flash in the pan. When we do break through and become competitive, we want to establish continuity in excellence, and basically that's at the point where the Pirates find themselves.
Yeah, I you know, not just the pitchers we've mentioned, but also Nick Kingham might be the closest to the big leagues, at least with Tyon out, of that group. And another guy that was drafted out of high school, which has always been a big risk-reward area for teams, high school pitchers. You always talk about some teams shy away from drafting them highly because of the risk of injury and stunted development. But, you know, Gerrit Cole, it's not exactly like he's Methuselah, but he's been around long enough to sort of be a known quantity. I'm wondering with Glasnow, Tyon, who's expected to have a successful recovery from Tommy John and get back and pitch at least the second half of this season, and then Kingham, could those three guys all wind up pitching in the big leagues at some point in 2016? And if so, along with Gerrit Cole, what a wave of pitching talent.
Exactly. Yeah, 2016 is a more realistic projection for the guys you mentioned. And, the Pirates have gained a reputation the last couple of years for rehabilitating major league veterans, but that's really the way they want to go, you know, in the future. I mean, now they're developing their own pitchers, and they're resisting the temptation to rush anybody along. Cole being a good example, a lot of people thought that perhaps he should have begun the 2013 season with the Pirates, but they sent him back to AAA, called him up in June, and that certainly turned out to be the right decision. And I think they're going to take the same approach with these other guys. They're not going to rush them into the majors. They're going to bring them up when they feel that they're definitely ready. And if the Cole example is any kind of a precedent, they're certainly on the right track with that.
Hey, our colleague Richard Justice just did an interesting piece, I thought, where he looked at all 30 teams and said, here's the one guy that's the biggest difference maker for them. And for the Pirates, he listed Gregory Polanco for obvious reasons. Will be in the first full year as a regular and a guy that makes the Pirates arguably the best outfield in the majors. Outside of Polanco, who would you point to, Tom, that you would say this is the guy that's going to be a 2015 difference maker?
Well, I mean, it's kind of hard to stay away from Pedro Alvarez. He was such a force in 2013, had all his difficulties fielding or rather throwing the ball on defense last season. But, this guy's, you know, power is becoming a very valued and relatively scarce commodity in major leagues, and nobody has more of it than Pedro. And seeing how he comes along at first base, how he accepts that role, I think he's going to be one of the key points of the whole spring training. I mean, that's a very a notable thing to keep an eye on, you know, throughout March. I mean, he could, you know, Polanco definitely has a chance to reach the high ceiling that was projected for him. But as far as making, you know, his Polanco is expected to, come through and be a big player and complete that dream outfield. But Alvarez is more of an unknown, and if he can reclaim his status as one of the game's premier power hitters, I mean, he's the one who I think could make the biggest difference.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. A guy that was as great of a story as any in 2014, came out of nowhere and was pitching big innings for the Pirates at the end, John Holdscombe. What's the level of confidence that, you know, that he could be the real deal for a full season in 2015 as opposed to kind of lightning in a bottle? What do they expect out of him as spring training rolls around?
Well, yeah, everybody's got their fingers crossed. I mean, he was the real deal last year, but he's got a history of inconsistency and kind of losing his focus sometimes. Everybody hopes that, what we saw last September is the real deal. And, my dark horse for this whole season, the Pirates love pitchers with big arms. Mark Melanson's very effective as a closer, when he took over the job from Jason Grilley. But I think he might be in a relatively short leash as a closer this season, simply if Holtzman establishes himself is in the bullpen to start the season. Real dark horse development this season is that Holmgren becomes the closer, he could become perhaps the oldest. I haven't researched this, but he could become the oldest Rookie of the Year ever. I mean, this guy's so genuine. I was talking to scout Bob Boone, the former catcher, scouting the Pirates last September for the Nationals for a possible postseason meeting, and he described Holmgren as a whose key pitch is the cutter. So he's got the Mariano Rivera cutter, but he's 5 inches taller and throws it 5 miles faster than Rivera did. And for somebody like Bob Boone to make that comparison with his credibility, I mean, that really, you know, opened my eyes.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the results opened everybody's eyes looking at him. One last question before we have to let you go. Jung-ho Kang, what's he been up to in the time since the Pirates agreed to sign him? And what's the latest on what the team has said about how he's going to be used in spring training?
Well, they're definitely committed to establishing him as a shortstop, see what he can do at that position. So we'll see him play short in the Grapefruit League. I've actually checked in on Kang here a couple of times. He's been working out with his old Nexon team in Arizona, kind of on his own agenda. He's due to go to Bradenton about February 10th, which is about 10 days before the rest of the position players report. He's making a side trip to Canada, of all places, to establish his visa. I'm not sure why he has to go there for the visa. But anyways, he's kind of taking care of all the preliminaries before he goes to Pittsburgh and puts on that number 27 uniform, I believe. But, you know, he's versatile. But the plan going into spring training is to see if he can handle being a major league shortstop. And then they'll check him out at a couple other positions. But, you know, we're talking about difference makers. I think he is another X factor. We don't know how key this guy could become. And by the way, the interesting thing about the seven top prospects, that excludes somebody like Kang because they didn't know anything about his ability in a major league competition. And also, you know, Polanco was the Pirates' top prospect last year, and he basically has lost his rookie status, which those prospects have to have. So I think, you know, to those seven, you can add these two as you know, future, you know, high ceiling players.
Well, and we just touched on Holmstrom too, is another guy that you know they wouldn't consider because of his age and circumstances.
Well, I think age. I think there was also a age factor in those prospects. You had to be below a certain age.
Right. But just looking at the talent, it's there too. So it's going to be great to see them all together on the field in Bradenton. Tom, thanks very much for joining us. For Tom Singer, this is Phil Rogers. This has been MLB.com Extras, Pittsburgh Pirates Edition.
Visit the official online shop of Major League Baseball at MLB.com/shop for the largest selection of authentic caps, T-shirts, jerseys, hoodies, collectibles, and more. Get your gear straight from the source, the MLB.com shop.